Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good. And all the time, God is good. I know we don't like what's falling outside and what's been falling for a few days, but nevertheless, God controls it all. God has the power switch in his hand. And we need to be thankful, because without the snow, we couldn't replenish the ground with moisture. And we need the snow, and we just have to learn to be patient and wait. It'll take us a while to get to where we're going, and once we get there, then we have to struggle with parking spaces. But nevertheless, God saw all of that before he sent the snow. And for those of you who have to shovel, I know it's been trying on you, because it's been trying on us as well. But we've got to get the snow up. Or you can take the attitude that you didn't put it down, so he'll get it up when he gets ready. But God is good once again, and he has blessed us to be able to come out to his house and worship him in spirit and in truth once again. I like that song, brother, that last song Brother Jackson sang there, and you all did a fine job. There's but a few voices in the house this morning, but nevertheless, they were not silent.
Amen. Amen.
So thank God for the blending of the voices.
Amen.
You know, that's one of the things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to sing and make melody in our hearts to God.
Yes.
You don't have to be a good singer. You just have to sing. Because many of us can't carry a tune very far at all. But nevertheless, we ought to sing and make melody unto the Lord. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse. And that is an old familiar passage to most of us who have been around the Bible for a while. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let us go to God in prayer, if you will, with me. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed once again by the blesser of all blessers. That is you, O Lord, and we're so thankful. We're so thankful that you lengthen out our lives to give us another opportunity that we may come out to serve you, Lord. We're thankful that the doors of the church were opened.
Amen.
We're thankful that there are some who chose to be here rather than to be someplace else. We're so thankful for them as well. We're praying for those who could not make it because of whatever reason that they have. We hope and pray that it was not a reason of selfishness and said, I just don't want to go today. We pray that it was a reason that they could not beyond their control. We pray for the sick and the shut in today. We pray on the behalf of Brother Billy Beck. We're just praying, if it be your will, that you would bless him and continue to give him healing from your finger, O Lord. We're thanking you for his family and praying for the strength for the family. We pray and ask you to be with all those who are sick, all those who are missing, and all those who still might be on their way this morning. We know that it's hard to pass through this life without you, O Lord. It's difficult at best, even, Lord, for what you do for us. Without what you do for us, it'd be even impossible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making things better for us. Thank you for giving unto us. Thank you for the leaders of this congregation. Thank you for their families. Thank you for all the families in this congregation. We pray for the churches of Christ everywhere, especially those who are holding up the bloodstained banner for Jesus Christ. We pray for our politicians, O Lord. We just pray that they not make any rules or regulations that would cause us to stumble in our worship service to you, O Lord. We pray for the soldiers all around the world who are standing guard to keep us safe and secure back here on the home front. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are behind bars this morning. We pray for their safety and their security, O Lord. We pray that if it be your will, that one day they soon might be set free. If it be your will. But whatever your will is, Lord, give us the strength and the will to accept it and go on, O Lord, and keep on going. We thank you for all of those who serve us from time to time, those in positions of teaching and the first responders in our emergencies and all those people that we learn to call upon in times of need. We just pray for them as well, O Lord, and thank you for them. Now, my Heavenly Father, be with us as we continue on in the furtherance of this service, that the things that we do and say might be found decently and in order and acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Let us all say amen. And just in case no one is aware of, as Brother Lowe mentioned in his prayer and I mentioned in my prayer, Brother Billy Beck had a stroke on last week, and he is in the hospital. He's in Good Samaritan Hospital in Downers Grove. He anticipates being transferred tomorrow. He thought he was going to be transferred on Friday, but they are holding off transferring him until Monday, and he'll be transferred to Ingalls Hospital. So let us continue to pray for Brother Beck and his family as he goes through his struggles. Let us remember him in our prayer. With that said, we want to talk for a little bit this morning since Jesus came into my heart. When Jesus enters one's life, it is the beginning of a new, enters one life, it is the beginning of a new life. It should bring about a change. The Bible describes it as having coming to life from the dead in Ephesians 2 and 1. It is a far-reaching and a real experience, a notable change, an eternal change even. In today's message, I would like to point out several characteristics you may notice in someone who has put on Christ. In other words, we speak of newborns in Christ. We call them new converts sometimes. So what should we look for in a person who Jesus has come into his heart or her heart? Well, they should develop a new appetite for food. When a baby is born, he or she, the first thing he or she does is cry. Ask any doctor and they will tell you the reason for that is that they desire food or milk. It is with new Christians or new converts, as they come to be called, what they desire as well. Let the Bible answer that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. And if a newborn babe does not desire milk of the word, in other words, if they have no desire, no hunger for the things of God, they may either be sick or spiritually dead. Craving for the milk of the word is what a new convert needs in order to grow in the Lord. Their old life should become just a blip on what has been left behind. For we understand that the milk is soon to be left behind as a new convert grows. Notice in Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. They have to be introduced to meat. Verse number 14 says, strong meat belonging to them that are of full age. With meat they will have the sense, exercise, or train to discern both good and evil. In other words, they learn right from wrong. With this new appetite, they should develop a new love for God. So somebody might ask the question, why this new love? Because according to 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19, we love him because he first loved us. Before God came into our lives, many of us had no time for him, no commitment for him, and no sacrifice of our lives to him. I'm just trying to tell you about becoming a new convert. A seasoned believer should already know this. I'll just call it a review for them. There should be a new attitude towards sin. When Jesus comes into one's heart, it introduces a new nature. It is not sinless perfection. It is one of a detest for sin. There's a raging battle in a Christian's life. That battle is described for us in Romans chapter 7, around verse 21 and verse through verse 23. I'll just highlight it for us. It says, "When I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God, but in my members warring against the law of my mind." Bottom line is this: when one puts on Jesus, you can call upon God to help you fight the battle. Amen. A Christian may sin, but it robs him of peace. It takes a toll on his sleeping. It makes him uncomfortable when he is not where he should be. He feels guilty when he is in the wrong place and doing the wrong things. We must think differently after Jesus comes into our hearts. We need to understand that this, we must work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And verse number 13 tells us, "For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do the will of his good pleasure." This means we are to secure the welfare of our souls. You know, you're in charge of your soul. And you need to work out your soul's salvation. It means we are to not try to judge others, for we have enough to look for in ourselves. All of our working depends upon God's working in us. God's good will to us is the cause of his good work in us. Watch what happens. When Jesus comes into our heart, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 9, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Now what are you saying, preacher? Jesus has it. We should desire it, and he will give it to us if we obey him. And when you think about it, church, when you look at any subject, who better to perform that service to us than the author of eternal salvation? We obey him, and we should know more about the subject than who should know more about the subject than the author or its creator? So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you want to know about salvation, you need to go to the Lord. If you want to be saved, you need to come to the Lord. If you need help in something, you come to the Lord. Now, I know what some of us say around here. We say, "Well, I can help myself." Well, that may be true, but you can only go so far in helping yourself. You can't go that far without the Lord. You need to accept God in your salvational plans. You need to ask the Lord for help. There should be a new affection for the people of God. Oh yeah, this is a good one. A point of evidence that points that Jesus has come into one's heart and dwells there is that we have a new feeling toward God's people. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Here we have a sure way to know if we are really a child of God. For we know that we are to love, for is the foundation of being a believer. We are to love God and love thy neighbor. These are the first and the second greatest commandments of all, according to Matthew 22. When one finds himself among those who say they love the Lord, but can't, I love the Lord, but I can't stand going to church and being around God's people. It is time to question whether that person really knows Jesus or not. And more specifically, does that person have Jesus in their heart? If Jesus is in one's heart, the Holy Spirit will be there as well. And it is the Holy Spirit that places love in our hearts, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5. So that we may spread it to others. When Jesus comes into our lives, into our hearts, we should be different. We should have a different attitude. We should have a different way of thinking, a different walk. Most of all, we should be different to others. According to our text, we should become a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. This means not only that we wear a new name, but that our hearts be new and have new nature in our bodies. One's old habits and practices are passed away. This renewed person acts with new principles, moved by new rules, with new renewed comforts. The familiar words of one of the old standard hymns asked the question, have you been washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Ask yourself this question, are you washed? Are you there yet? You can be there today if you come to him. There's no better time than the present time. You know, I like to ask certain questions of people when I talk to them. And one of the questions I like to ask them is this. Have you been a baptized believer? And if not, why not? If not, what is standing in your way? And you know, I've heard many excuses over the years. And some of the excuses I've heard don't make a lot of sense, to be honest with you. They say things like, I don't want to take all my time going to church. Well, you don't take all your time going to church. We're only here for a couple hours on one day out of the week, and if we have Bible class, that's 2 days out of the week. God gives you a whole nother 5 days to do whatever you want to do with them. But you come to Bible class for 1 hour, usually during the midweek somewhere. You come to a Bible school at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and come to worship service at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. And I do my best to have you out of here by 12:30, 12:15 or 12:30. So how is that taking all your time? Why don't you want to go be with God's people if you claim to be a believer in God? I've heard the excuse that, well, I would become baptized, but that'll take so much of my time that I need that time to do stuff like clean my car. On a Sunday morning, I like to get up and wash my car. On Sunday morning, I like to get up and have that time to myself. Well, that time came to you, is given to you by whom? By God. And if you don't give him back sometime, guess what? You're standing on dangerous ground. You're on shaky ground, if you will. But then, when those same people get in trouble, they come running and asking you, "Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me?" Well, I'll pray for you, okay, but what am I praying for you for? Are you a Christian? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, well, I believe in him, but I just don't think I need to serve him on Sunday, every Sunday. Well, huh? If you don't need to serve him, why are you calling upon him? Yet, those same people, when you get them in the right position and you speak to them in the right way and they do become baptized believers, some of them make the best Christians you ever want to see. Why do you say that, preacher? Well, because they've experienced the world at its worst and at its best. And now they want to get to see what God is offering. That old familiar hymn that I just mentioned, "Are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?" That's a good song. But there are some who don't believe it. And you know, it's been said before that you can speak a lie as well as sing a lie. And if you're not serving the Lord in spirit and in truth, are you singing a lie to him? Or are you just trying to make yourself heard? You know, there's a reason that the Lord puts everything in the Bible that he puts in there. There's nothing misleading in the Bible to us. Everything is for our edification, for the edification of the Lord. Now, just for a thought for a moment, I'd like for you to ask yourself this question. What caused me to get up this morning? What caused me to wake up, first of all, this morning? And what caused me to get up? And I'll bet the answer will be the one and the same, the Lord. And if you don't think that was important enough for you to thank God for, you must be spiritually dead completely. You know, when I wake up in the morning, one of the first things I like to do is peep through the windows to see what the day looks like. Is the sun shining? Is it cloudy and gray? Or is it snowy and raining? Just what has God sent us this day? Because all weather comes from God. All of it. The good sunshine, the bad snow, the good rain, all of, however you class it, it all comes from God. I told you his finger is on the power switch. And so we need to be thankful to God for what he has done for us, what he continues to do for us, and what he will do for us in the future if we obey him. Now, when you look at that text once again in verse number 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Your Bible may say a new creature. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." When you become a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ and you get baptized, you become a new person. No, you still look the same. If you went in with bad feet, you come out, you still got bad feet. But nevertheless, all old things are passed away. Your soul and your heart should be changed. So what are you saying, preacher? Simply saying, we need Jesus. Jesus has prepared a place for us. And we need to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we need to be a believer in order to follow him. Now I say to you this morning, I looked out around 4 o'clock out of my window this morning. I saw all that snow out there. And I said, I know church is going to be kind of empty today. I knew it would be, Brother Lowe. I knew it would be kind of a fewer people here today. But I'm so thankful for those of you that did show up. I said to myself, Lord, I know you're in charge of everything, but Lord, do you need to keep on sending the snow? You cause people to stumble when you do that. It shouldn't, but it does. Now those same people are going to get up tomorrow morning and go to work. And they're not going to complain a lot about it. They're going to get out there and get stuck in traffic. They're going to drive through the snow and the ice. They're going to get out there and they're going to make it onto the job. And if they just happen to be late, they're going to think up a good lie to tell the boss. But yet they couldn't show up for church, and it's only a part of the day that you're here. As I said before, we strive to get you out of here by 12:15. Many years ago, we decided that we wanted to be out of here by 12:15 to 12:20, 12:15 to 12:30. So that means I do shorter messages. That means that I try my best to get you out of here at a decent time. That means you ought to be thankful to God for being here just those few minutes. Now, when we try to get you out of here on time, some of you, especially on a day like today, some of you don't have nothing to do but go home and shovel snow no way. Some of you might go home and kick back, as they say. But I got to shovel some snow, so you probably do too. Now, God put all this snow here for a reason. As I said before, to replenish the earth. Amen. To moisturize the ground. So that we can grow food in the springtime. And all of us, most of us, for the most part, like food. Isn't that right? Now just think about it. If God laid down on his job, Brother Jackson, and didn't send the moisture to the earth, and the earth became dry and caked up, we'd go into no planting season for the seed. And we wouldn't have a replenishment of food. The cows who give us the hamburgers wouldn't be able to have anything to drink. The pigs who give us the pork chop wouldn't have anything to eat. But God knows what he's doing, and I'm not going to question him. I might in a passing fleeting moment ask him, Lord, do you have to send it all at one time? But nevertheless, God is good. And I know that God knows what he is doing. And if you trust in him, you won't question him either. You'll just accept what he gives us. That means accepting the snow that's outside. That means accepting the rain that's going to come at some point in time. That means when the sun shines, you'll appreciate that even more so. But I can see us now, just about June or July, we're going to be talking, ooh, well, it's so hot. We're going to talk about, I wish it would cool off just a little bit. And as soon as it cooled off, then we're going to say, dog, I thought it was summertime. That's what we do. But nevertheless, I put my trust in the Lord, and I know that he'll do whatever he deems necessary to do. And whatever he sees fit to do, he'll send it our way. All I got to do is obey him and do his will. And the Bible is full of his will. All we got to do is follow the Bible and we'll know what to do. You can't say, well, God didn't leave me any instructions. Yes, he did. He left you a whole Bible full of instructions. Now, God has already, in this book of instruction, God has already told us how to get from heaven to glory. He tells us how to get from heaven to glory. And I'll tell you something. The Bible is not going to change. Now, we get some new interpretive version. They'll insert a word or two that means that it doesn't mean the same as just a new word, like that word I read for you, the Bible. Your book may say creature, mine says creation. But it's still the same meaning. So somebody will come up with an interpretive version of the Bible. Be careful with the interpretive version because you don't want to lose sight of what it really means. But God is not going to put anything in, didn't put anything in our Bibles that we don't need to understand, that we don't need to know. We may not understand it all, but it was something that he wanted us to know. So he put it there. I try to keep abreast of time because I've already told you we're getting out at 12:15 or earlier. But I just want to let you know one other thing and then I'm going to take my seat. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Now, Brother Jackson asked me a little bit earlier today, he asked me how was I feeling. I told him I was feeling pretty good. I have still more good days than bad days, but I know the bad days are coming. Because if I live long enough, I'm going to have some bad days, and so are you. But nevertheless, God is still good and he's all right with me. I was at the doctor's office the other day and the lady went down a checklist asking me a bunch of questions. Do I have anything false? She said, you ain't had no knee replacement? I said, no. No hip replacement? And we went through this whole list of questions. And when I got to the bottom, she looked at me and she said, you've never been in the hospital for any of these? I said, no, ma'am, I have not. And I think about how blessed I am to be in the condition that I'm in, even though it's not the condition I necessarily want to be in. But I'm in the position that God put me in, and I've got to live with it. And live with it I will, because I'm not going to say I give up, I quit. Are you? I don't think so. God will treat us in his own manner, in his own way, if we just obey the Bible and do what the Bible tells us to do. Now, I could talk about the Bible for the rest of the day, but I know y'all got to go and shovel snow. I could talk about the goodness of the Lord the rest of the day, but I know y'all got to go. I could talk about how good Jesus treated us when he came to this earth and how we treated him. But y'all got to go. And thank you, Brother Thomas. And when we break it all down, we are concerned right now about some things in this life. We're going through one of the worst flu seasons we ever had in many, many years. But you know something? I know a doctor who can cure the flu with just the speaking of a name, of a word. Now, I'll tell you something, what I heard this morning. The Japanese are coming out with a pill that can cure the flu in one day. That, matter of fact, they've already got it out. But it won't be approved until by sometime next year before we can get it. But I don't know if it's going to work or not. But it just shows you that man is making progress, but he's not making progress on his own. God is in charge of everything. So don't get your hopes up too high for nothing. Because God can break it off anytime he gets ready. So with that, I said enough. It's very few of us here today, but I'm thanking God for those of you that are here. And now we go back to reality. We come out of the warm building, go out to our cold cars, and travel in the cold day to our warm homes or wherever we may be going. So I ask this question. Once again, have you been washed in the blood? As I look out, I see most of us, I believe most of us have, with the exception of maybe a few, one or two. And if you haven't been, you need to consider being washed in the blood. If you haven't been to Jesus, you need to come to Jesus so you can make everything new. Old things will be passed away. All things would become as new. That's what the text says. So I ask you this morning, I make this statement to you this morning. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you've already been there, you need to go back and ask God to forgive you if you've committed a discretion. Walk forward, ask the church to pray for you and with you, that you may grow strong. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.